You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. One of our region's greatest assets is our strong medical community. In fact, for over 165 years, Mankato has served as a regional hub for medicine in South Central Minnesota. Today, we will explore the history of our local hospitals that have been serving this area for over 130 years. Let's jump in and be surrounded by history. So the first doctor in Blue Earth County was Dr. Moses R. Wickersham, who arrived in Mankato in May 1856.
His name already sounds familiar.
Okay. So why does that name sound familiar today?
It's a health campus here in town, right?
That's right. All right.
I don't tell nobody. But I don't go to the doctors.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then you might learn a little bit from...
knock on wood, actually.
from some of our previous podcasts about the Spanish flu and the typhoid. But okay, we won't go there today. So by the end of 1856, four other doctors had followed Dr. Wickersham. Three had located in Mankato and one near Amboy. So remember this, 1856, Mankato was founded in 1852. So right away, there were already a presence for medical physicians in this area.
At the time, I suppose they found a need to be, there's a need here, there's a growing community already.
Right.
That's kind of what it just comes down to?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But it would be another 30 years before the county had a hospital. Not until Turtelot Hospital was built in 1888 when Colonel John Turtelot, a Civil War veteran who had practiced law in Mankato, had gifted the city of Mankato $8,000 to build a hospital.
I think we talked about this once before and how he gifted the city to do that.
He did.
And then the hospital kind of went near, not at the park, but near that area, right?
Exactly. And then, so in honor of him, they named Turtelot Park after him, which we'll talk about a little bit here. So back to Turtelot Hospital. As hospitals at this time in the 1880s were considered a place of last resort, kind of like how you referenced not going to the doctor.
Same.
No one wanted to live near such a building either. So because they were concerned about the diseases that were being taken care of as if they were going to spread outside of the building.
So interesting.
So the two-story hospital with 20 rooms for 20 patients was built on the prairie north edge of town on a lot which today would be on 4th Avenue between Maxfield and Spruce Streets.
Okay.
Being outside the city limits, however, it was beyond sewer or water lines. You might need that for a hospital.
It helps, yeah.
Water needed to be pumped with a windmill or by hand to a storage tank in the attic of the building, and that's how the water would be able to go through the building. In 1890, it cost $7 per week to stay in one of the two largest wards. The public wards were $5 a week. So if you wanted a private room versus a public room, that's basically what it's saying. The annual report for 1892 reported the hospital had, watch out for this, served 52 cases for a whole year. 42 of them were private, which means that just you or I decided to go, and 10 were county patients. So that means they were part of, like, the poor farm.
Okay.
They needed assistance.
Okay.
There were 16 surgical cases and 7 deaths.
Wow.
So it's not good, a good ratio of having surgery and dying.
Yeah, it's not. But it's last case scenario for, like you said.
That's right. That's right. The expenses for the year were... $900 for the salaries and $800 for provisions. Okay. So this is how much it costs to run a hospital in the 1890s.
Now, that was a lot of money then, but
it's
still.
It's a huge lot of money.
Still, that's so, the numbers are comical.
Yes. In the early 1900s, appendicitis was the most frequent diagnosis found on hospital records, although La Grippe, a.k.a. influenza, was a common complaint.
La Grippe?
Yes.
Why the name change? What is that?
I don't know. I didn't look it up, but I think that's what it was a fancy way of saying you had the flu.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Originally operated by the city, expenses were considered high, even though we were giggling about it. Consequently, in 1897, the Sisters of the Sorrowful Mother of Marshfield, Wisconsin, were invited to take over the work. Four sisters came to Mankato and were allotted $1,000 for the first year of operation. Now, prior to this, we're exceeding $1,000. We're more like $1,600,
right,
okay?
Right.
So they were only allotted $1,000 for the first year of operation. After 1 year, they were operating in the black. Okay, so these sisters knew how to budget.
They knew what they were doing, yeah.
They knew what they were doing. Just a year later, in 1898, the sisters purchased the John A. Willard House and surrounding block on the corner of 6th Street near Washington Park. Might sound familiar. This mm-hmm. is another previous podcast that we've done. This location, the Willard House, could serve 22 patients. They continued to operate Turtelot Hospital until 1903, at which time the building was closed and the property reverted back to the city.
Wasn't the building, on our previous podcast, we talked about that briefly, wasn't about how the building was made out of wood anyway, and it was like just pretty dilapidated? Right away, almost?
Well, the reason why the hospital had to close was because of that water and sewer issue.
That's right. Yep.
That's why it had
That's
to close.
That's what it was.
So it was suggested that the hospital, even though the building, the hospital component was closed, they were trying to find reuses of the building. It was suggested the hospital be used for persons with contagious diseases, especially smallpox, as such a facility was lacking in this area of the state. However, one provision of the original gift from Turtelot was that it never be used for such a purpose. It was also suggested that it be used for a home for the elderly. As $10,000 to $15,000, that's a lot of money, would be needed to extend the water and sewage lines if old Turtelot Hospital was to find a new use. The building, unfortunately, sat empty and was demolished in 1906. Some of the stone was used in the building of Emmanuel Hospital that same year. We're going to talk about more about that okay. in just a little bit. Desiring to remember Turtelot's gift to the city, the park and the pool were named in his honor in 1940. By 1899, there were 17 doctors in Mankato and 10 others throughout the county. The Sisters of the Sorrowful Mother, operating both Turtelot Hospital and Willard House, made plans to build a new building using the land adjacent to the Willard House. So this, they're on 5th Street and Washington Street.
Okay.
St. Joseph's Hospital was dedicated on December 5th. 1899.
Well, do they think they weren't doing enough with the two hospitals before that?
Well, or? Their goal was to merge them all together
right,
into
right.
one big building.
Right.
Okay. So this building was made, well, then they were sisters. They knew what they were doing. It was made of brick, three stories high, plus a basement, and was heated by steam. The lighting was both gas and electric.
Fancy.
An elevator made the operating room on the third floor feasible. This is 1899. A covered passage joined the new hospital to the Willard House, which contained the kitchen and the living quarters for the sisters. A dumbwaiter connected the kitchen to the hospital elevator, and each landing contained a gas stove to heat the food. Each floor also had a bathing room and a toilet.
Oh, one. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And each floor.
Yeah.
But I'm marveled by the elevator.
Right.
My brain just keeps getting hung up on that part. But anyways, and an operating room. So a two-story extension was built on the Willard House in 1913, so about 14 years later, and that added a chapel, two operating rooms, and two recovery wards, giving a total of 100 beds. The average number of patients at this time was between 40 to 50 patients at a time. The Willard Building then became a home for the aged until 1937, which would also be like a nursing home today.
Okay.
An addition in 1926 brought the hospital's capacity to 120 patients. A new idea was instituted in 1926 addition, the ability to page physicians on any floor using microphones from the office with amplifiers on the floors. Although a fourth floor was built in the addition, it was not opened until 1930 when more room was needed. Some of the latest equipment was installed at this time, including ultraviolet ray, heliotherapy, infrared lamps, plus equipment for electrotherapy and hydrotherapy treatments that were, quote unquote, valuable for nervousness, reported the Free Press. Remodeling occurred again in 1944, bringing capacity to 142 beds. So that first hospital is 20 beds. And now, by 1944, we're up to 140 hospital beds in our community.
Okay. Backing up quickly, what is heliotherapy? Any idea?
You're going to have to look it up.
Okay. Ultraviolet ray?
You're going to have to look it up.
Is electrotherapy exactly what I think it is?
Like, you're going to have movies? To look it up.
Zap them! All right.
The number of patients continued to grow. New equipment came into use. And by the 1950s, it became apparent an entirely new building was needed. Thus, St. Joseph's Hospital built a new building on Mankato's hilltop where our current hospital sits. Dedicated on June 4th, 1953, at a cost of $4 million,
wow.
The building was shaped in the form of a Greek cross with four wings. It was 5 stories high, built of brick with no, quote unquote, unnecessary ornamentation, reported the Free Press. The hospital, the old hospital building down by Washington Park, became the Mother Frances Rest Home, a.k.a. nursing home, which closed in 1967, and that building was torn down.
That is so interesting. Talk about how we went from a hospital originally being built for $8,000, and then roughly, that was in 1860, when was that for sure? No, I don't remember. 1860, I believe, or something. Not 60 itself, but 1856, right?
1856 was our first doctor. Yes, and then in 1888,
oh, there it is.
Turtelot donated $8,000 to build the hospital, and
now $4 million.
$4 million.
It's from 1888 to 1950. Just curious how what things cost.
That's
right. We wonder and complain now.
That's right.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with more Surrounded by History.
Welcome back. Now let's go back to Emmanuel Hospital. I mentioned that before because the stone from Turtelot Hospital was used in the construction of Emmanuel in 1906. This hospital stood at the corner of Washington and 4th Streets. And if you remember, we talked about St. Joseph's Hospital was Washington and 6th Streets. So these hospitals were very close to each other. The location of Emmanuel Hospital was on the previous site of Omaha Railroad's Roundhouse and Turntable. On November 16th, 1906, the Mankato Free Press extolled the new structure. It was 4 stories high, including the basement with sunrooms on each floor and could hold 40 patients.
Now, really quick. Again, I feel like I get hung up on these things. 1906, there's already a closed down railroad roundhouse.
Like, yeah. That railroad just, is already.
They already got out of there. I mean, that we talked about that rail line before, and they weren't there very long.
No.
But it's just so weird to think about how, well, railroad was here. Now they're gone. You guys can build here.
Yep.
It's just so quickly how they turned around.
Well, that's it. I mean, well, we're going to talk about it. We've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it more about how quickly transportation changes and then how quickly that makes our community change.
Right.
So back to this article in 1906 by the Free Press talking about all the features of this brand new Emmanuel Hospital. So it could hold 40 patients on each floor. It was heated by a Brommel vapor system, the first in the state of Minnesota.
Ooh.
There were both gas and electric lights and an electric elevator. 2 operating rooms were located on the 3rd floor. The main kitchen was on the 4th floor with a dumbwaiter to bring meals to each floor. This is unique. Over St. Joseph's, 12 telephones were installed.
And again, not just a telephone was installed. They're like telephones were 12.
12 of
I'm
them.
I'm not sure what your hospital has. 10? Oh, well, we have 12.
We have 12. like St. Joseph's, Emmanuel saw many changes and additions through the years. An annex was built in 1912, about 6 years later, bringing the number of beds to 65. A 3-story addition in 1952 added 60 rooms. Rooms with delivery and labor rooms, a laboratory, power plant, and other improvements. In 1961, another addition brought the total beds to 150. Emmanuel instituted a 3-year course to train nurses soon after it opened, graduating 8 students in 1912. The program closed in 1936. Likewise, St. Joseph's began a school for practical nurses in 1947, which closed in 1962. So they didn't have nursing programs at the same time, but both hospitals ended up with nursing programs incorporated into their overall program.
Hmm.
So 1968 was a watershed moment when Emmanuel Hospital and St. Joseph's Hospital merged and formed Emmanuel St. Joseph Hospital of Mankato, also known as ISJ, or today you might know it as the Mayo Health System Mankato. The consolidation served a wide area with over half of its patients coming from outside of Mankato. Talks of the merger between Emmanuel and St. Joseph Hospitals began in 1967. The consolidation was completed in November of 1968, forming a new corporation with 80 doctors representing 15 specialties. Starting in 1951, Emmanuel had been operated by a non-denominational board, making the merger with St. Joseph's, it is believed, the first time a sectarian hospital merged with a non-sectarian hospital in the United States. So prior to this, Emmanuel Hospital was more for, the best way to describe it, more for Lutherans. And St. Joseph Hospital was more for the Catholics.
Yep.
So Emmanuel would be Lutheran and it would be general public. Mm-hmm. And so up until 1951, they were exclusively, Emmanuel Hospital would have exclusively had more of that secular government board to go with it. St. Joseph's maintained theirs. And so when they had the merger, you then had a non-secular board and a secular board joining forces. So potentially the first time ever in the United States happened right
And
here.
I feel like probably a lot more drama than you can even take from these pages.
Yes, yes. In fact, I have heard lots of stories. And well, yes. So, but before the consolidation, staffing at the hospitals was becoming very difficult, and neither hospital alone could manage the purchase of new expensive equipment. And you could tell there was some competition there, too. And why do we need competition with two hospitals in our community? Although both hospitals were still in operation, the merger saw that all coronary patients were seen at Emmanuel, and all OB patients were only seen at St. Joseph. So they were able to kind of make that that specialties.
Okay.
Prior to the merger, the maternity ward at each hospital averaged only 50% of capacity. But the merger allowed for that to not be separated, and it also made it possible for 24-hour admittance to the emergency room at St. Joseph's. So again, it made a lot of sense to be able to merge these two hospitals into one. Statistics show that Emmanuel was busier during the summer, possibly because more areas of the hospital were air conditioned than St. Joseph's. An article in the Free Press in February 1970 commented, quote, long-time Mankatonians were rarely ambivalent about what hospital was best, end quote. The Emmanuel Hospital building closed in 1979 and is now Gus Johnson Plaza. So I say that because if you talk to somebody, they'll say, well, I was born at St. Joseph's. Oh, no. I was born at Emmanuel. So there was this competition in the community about which hospital truly was best.
Okay.
So I think that perfect that they finally did this merger and came together.
Okay.
There has continued to be expansions and building since the merger of these two hospitals back in 1968. The Mankato Clinic moved to its present location adjacent to the hospital in 1992. The hospital became known as ISJ Mayo Health System after the Mayo Clinic purchased it in 1996. It doesn't seem like it's been that long already.
No kidding.
Another name change occurred just in 2011 when the facility officially became the Mayo Clinic Health System in Mankato. However, how often is it still referred to as ISJ or simply St. Joe's?
I don't know if I've ever heard St. Joe's one, too. I have heard it, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But more so ISJ yeah. from everybody.
From everybody.
And it's not. And it's funny because it's not even that since 2011.
I know. I've if you ask me where my kids were born, I'll tell you it was ISJ.
Well, they weren't. It wasn't St. Joe's or Emmanuel?
No. I'm not that
no,
old. Thank you very much, Jeffrey Lang.
I didn't mean it that way.
We sure hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored Mankato's hospital history. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society and a special article written for the Historical Society's newsletter by Society volunteer Hilda Parks. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.